Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, shared on accessmedia.nz with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Assalamu alaikum, kia ora, and may the peace and blessings of God Almighty be upon you all. Welcome to We Are One, a live program dedicated to promoting peace and serving humanity. I am Nabeel Ahmed Khan, a member of the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat in Masterton. This program is brought to you by the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, New Zealand, a community of former refugees now settled in the beautiful Wairarapa region. We are deeply grateful to the people of Wairarapa and beyond for their support and friendship as we grow together as one community. Thank you for tuning in. Let's work hard in hand-to-hand toward unity, peace and community service. Let's begin our program, We Are One, with the beautiful recitation of the Holy Quran.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم اقترب للناس حسابهم وهم في غفلة معرضون.
Nigh unto men has drawn their reckoning, yet they turn away in heedlessness.
ما يأتيهم من ذكر من ربهم محدث إلا استمعوه وهم يلعبون.
There comes not to them any new admonition from their Lord, but they listen to it while they make sport of it.
لاهية قلوبهم وأسروا النجوى الذين ظلموا هل هذا إلا بشر مثلكم أفتأتون السحر وأنتم تبصرون.
And their hearts are forgetful, and they, the wrongdoers, confer together in secret and say, Is this man aught but a mortal like yourselves? Will you then yield to his sorcery with your eyes open?
قال ربي يعلم القول في السماء والأرض وهو السميع العليم.
In reply to this, the Prophet said, My Lord knows what is said in the heaven and the earth, and He is the all-hearing, the all-knowing.
بل قالوا أضغاث أحلام بل افتراه بل هو شاعر فليأتنا بآية كما أرسل الأولون.
Nay, They say, "These are but confused dreams." Nay, he has forged himself. Nay, he is but a poet. Let him then bring us a sign, just as the former prophets were sent with signs.
مَا آمَنَتْ قَبْلَهُمْ مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ أَهْلَكْنَاهَا أَفَهُمْ يُؤْمِنُونَ
No township before them, which we destroyed, ever believed. Would they then believe?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا قَبْلَكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
And we sent none as messengers before thee, but men, to whom we sent revelations. So ask the people of the reminder, if you know not.
وَمَا جَعَلْنَاهُمْ جَسَدًا لَا يَأْكُلُونَ الطَّعَامَ وَمَا كَانُوا خَالِدِينَ
Nor did we give them bodies that ate not food, neither were they to live forever.
ثُمَّ صَدَقْنَاهُمُ الْوَعْدَ فَأَنْجَيْنَاهُمْ وَمَنْ نَشَاءُ وَأَهْلَكْنَا الْمُسْرِفِينَ
Then we fulfilled to them our promise. And we saved them, and those whom we pleased, and we destroyed the transgressors.
لَقَدْ أَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ كِتَابًا فِيهِ ذِكْرُكُمْ وَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ
We have now sent down to you a book, which makes provision for your eminence. Will you not then understand?
وَكَمْ قَصَمْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ كَانَتْ ظَالِمَةً وَأَنْشَأْنَا بَعْدَهَا قَوْمًا آخَرِينَ
And how many a township that acted wrongfully have we utterly destroyed, and raised up after it another people.
فَلَمَّا أَحَسُّوا بَأْسَنَا إِذَا هُمْ مِنْهَا يَرْقُدُونَ
And when they perceived our punishment, lo, they began to flee from it.
لا تركضوا وارجعوا إلى ما أترفتم فيه ومساكنكم لعلكم تسألون
Thereupon we said, Flee not, but return to the luxuries in which you exulted, and to your dwellings, that you might be questioned about your conduct.
قَالُوا يَا وَيْلَنَا إِنَّا كُنَّا ظَالِمِينَ
They said, Alas for us, we were indeed wrongdoers.
فما زالت تلك دعواهم حتى جعلناهم حسيدا خامدين.
And this ceased not to be their cry till we made them like a mown down field, extinct.
وما خلقنا السماء والأرض وما بينهما لاعبين.
And we created not the heaven and the earth, and all that is between the two in sport.
لو أردنا أن نتخذ لهوا لاتخذناه من لدنا إن كنا فاعلين.
Had we wished to find a pastime, we would surely have found it in what is with us, if at all we were to do such a thing.
جزاک اللہ. اب میں آپ کے سامنے ایک پیراگراف پڑھوں گا جو کہ حضرت مرزا مسرور احمد جو خلیفہ وقت ہیں جماعت احمدیہ کے, ان کا اختتامی خطاب تھا ایک موقع پر. تو اس میں سے ایک پیراگراف جو ہے میں آپ کو پڑھ کر سناؤں گا جو دنیا کے حالات اور امن و امان کی صورتحال کے بارے میں. حضور فرماتے ہیں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ کا بے حد فضل اور احسان ہے کہ اس نے دنیا کے آج کل کے حالات کے باوجود جماعت احمدیہ جرمنی کو اپنا جلسہ سالانہ منعقد کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرمائی, اور گزشتہ سال کی نسبت وسیع انتظامات کے ساتھ آپ یہ جلسہ منعقد کر رہے ہیں. پہلے کووڈ وبا نے دنیا کو پریشان کیا اور ابھی وہ وبا کی پریشانی ختم نہیں ہوئی, تو اب دنیا میں جنگوں کی صورتحال نے دنیا کو ایک انتہائی خطرناک موڑ پر لا کھڑا کر دیا ہے. دنیا کا کوئی خطہ بھی اس متوقع تباہی سے محفوظ نظر نہیں آتا, اور جب تک واحد و یگانہ خدا کی طرف رجوع نہ کریں گے تباہی سے بچ بھی نہیں سکتے. پہلے تو یورپ اور مغربی ممالک اور ترقی یافتہ ممالک اس زوم میں بیٹھے ہوئے تھے کہ جنگوں کی صورتحال, فساد کی صورتحال, علاقوں اور ملکوں کی تباہی کے حالات جہاں پیدا ہوئے ہیں یا ہو رہے ہیں وہ ہم سے ہزاروں میل دور ہیں اور ہم محفوظ ہیں. حالات خراب ہیں, بم پڑ رہے ہیں, لوگ مر رہے ہیں, عورتیں بیوہ ہو رہی ہیں, بچے یتیم ہو رہے ہیں, لوگ اپاہج ہو رہے ہیں. تو وہ ایشیا میں اور مشرق وسطیٰ میں اور غریب ملک میں ہو رہے ہیں, ہمیں کیا فرق پڑتا ہے؟ ترقی یافتہ ملک ان ملکوں کو اسلحہ فراہم کرتے رہے کہ ہمارا اسلحہ بکتا رہے, یا مرتے ہیں تو مرے, کیا فرق پڑتا ہے؟ لیکن بھول گئے ہیں کہ یہ حالات ان پر بھی آ سکتے ہیں, اور اپنی ترقی کے زوم میں ان کی عقلیں ماری گئی ہیں اور آنکھیں اندھی ہو گئی ہیں. اور پھر اب سب دنیا دیکھ رہی ہے کہ وہی ہوا جس کا خطرہ تھا وہی ہوا جس کا خطرہ تھا, اور یورپ میں بھی جنگی حالات پیدا ہو گئے ہیں. یوکرائن کی وجہ سے روس اور نیٹو کے ممالک آمنے سامنے کھڑے ہیں. اللہ تعالیٰ بہتر جانتا ہے کہ برتری کس نے آخر میں حاصل کرنی ہے یا دونوں کی طرف کتنا نقصان ہونا ہے, لیکن یہ یقینی بات ہے کہ اس کے نتائج بہت خطرناک ہونے ہیں, اور اگر اب بھی عقل سے کام نہ لیا تو ایک خوفناک تباہی اس کا انجام ہے. پھر ہم دیکھتے ہیں کہ اب تائیوان کا معاملہ بھی کھڑا ہو گیا ہے, اور صاف ظاہر ہے کہ اب پوری دنیا خوفناک جنگ کے دہانے پر کھڑی ہے. اس زمانہ کے اللہ تعالیٰ کے فرستادہ نے بڑے زور سے تنبیہ کی ہوئی ہے کہ اے یورپ تو بھی امن میں نہیں, اور اے ایشیا تو بھی محفوظ نہیں, اور اے جزائر کے رہنے والوں کوئی مصنوعی خدا تمہاری مدد نہیں کرے گا. میں شہروں کو گرتے دیکھتا ہوں اور آبادیوں کو ویران پاتا ہوں. حقیقت الوحی روحانی خزائن جلد 22 صفحہ نمبر 269. یہی وہ ارشاد ہے اور تنبیہ ہے اور وارننگ ہے جس کی وجہ سے خلفائے احمدیت وقتاً فوقتاً توجہ دلاتے رہتے ہیں. میں بھی ایک عرصہ سے اس طرف توجہ دلا رہا ہوں, یہ بتا رہا ہوں کہ اپنے پیدا کرنے والے واحد و یگانہ خدا کی طرف رجوع نہیں کرو گے تو تباہی یقینی ہے. عرصہ سے بتا رہا ہوں کہ بلاک بن رہے ہیں اور اس کا آخری نتیجہ ایک دوسرے کی تباہی پر منتج ہے ہوگا, اس لیے ہوش کرو. لیکن اکثر یہ لوگ یہ باتیں سنتے ہیں, سنتے تھے اور اب بھی سنتے ہیں, اور کہہ دیتے تھے کہ حالات کچھ خراب ہیں. ٹھیک ہے کہ کچھ حد تک خراب ہیں, لیکن ایسے بھی نہیں جیسے تم خوفناک اور مایوس کن حالات کا نقشہ کھینچ رہے ہو. مجھے بھی لوگوں نے کہا, ہمارے امن جماعت کے افراد کو بھی لوگوں نے کہا, لیکن اب یہی لوگ جو ان باتوں کو ستی نظر سے دیکھتے تھے خود کہنے لگ گئے ہیں کہ حالات بد سے بدتر ہوتے چلے جا رہے ہیں. اگر یہی حالات رہے تو کسی وقت بھی خوفناک جنگ کی صورت ہو سکتی ہے. اب یہ باتیں ان کی تھنک ٹینک اور تجزیہ نگار عام کہنے لگ گئے ہیں, لیکن اس کے باوجود پائیدار امن قائم کرنے کا حل ان کے پاس نہیں ہے. اور یہ ہو بھی کیوں کر ہو سکتا ہے کہ امن کے منبع کی طرف ان کی نظر نہیں ہے, دنیا میں ڈوبے ہوئے ہیں اور دین کو بھول چکے ہیں. جہاں امن کا حل ہے وہاں نہ یہ غیر مسلم حکومتیں آنا چاہتی ہیں اور نہ ہی بدقسمتی سے مسلمان حکومتیں آنا چاہتی ہیں. اب بعض جگہ تجزیہ نگار یہ بھی کہہ رہے ہیں کہ جنگوں کی صورت میں جو تباہی ہونی ہے ایسی خوفناک ہوگی کہ ایک اندازہ کے مطابق دوران جنگ اور اس کے بعد کے 2 سالوں میں ایٹمی ہتھیار کے استعمال کی وجہ سے دنیا کی 66% آبادی صفحہ ہستی سے مٹ جائے گی. ایسی تباہی و بربادی ہوگی جس کا تصور بھی کوئی نہیں کر سکتا, ایک عام انسان تو اس کا سوچ بھی نہیں سکتا. بس بہت خوفناک حالت ہے. اللہ تعالیٰ ہمیں توفیق دے کہ ہم زمانے کے امام کو سمجھنے والے ہوں اور دنیا میں امن و امان کام کرنے والے ہوں, اور خاتم الانبیاء حضرت محمد مصطفیٰ صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کی تمام تعلیمات پر عمل کرنے والے ہوں. جزاک اللہ. Now I would like to play a speech which is about Holy Quran and the final guidance for mankind.
Shahadu la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu اما بعد فاعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. My topic today is the Holy Quran, the final guidance for mankind. Verse 4 of chapter 5 of the Holy Quran states, This day I have perfected your religion for you and completed my favor upon you and have chosen for you Islam as religion. This verse was the last of the Holy Quran to be revealed to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. No other religion or scripture has made such a claim. This is a unique distinction of the Holy Quran. All Muslims believe the Holy Quran to be the revealed word of God, and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had earlier been told by God to proclaim, Say, O mankind, truly I am a messenger to you from Allah, to whom belongs the kingdom of the heavens and the earth. Chapter 7, verse 159. He was told to proclaim, O mankind, and not O Arabs or O tribes of Ishmael. In short, he was a universal prophet with a universal mission, who received a divine universal guidance in the form of the Holy Quran, an eternal and ever-revealing guidance, not only for the peoples of his time, but for the whole of mankind till the end of time. The God who revealed his message to the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam proclaimed in the Holy Quran, In the name of Allah, the Gracious, the Merciful, say, I seek refuge in the Lord of mankind, the King of mankind, the God of mankind. That is verses 1 to 4, chapter 114. Clearly, the address is to all the peoples of the world and not a particular people or race. Since the advent of Adam, there have been thousands of prophets. Not one of those prophets ever proclaimed to be a universal prophet with a universal guidance. When the Holy Quran was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there already existed many religions and revealed books. So why was there a need for another book? If these books were divine revelation, then why the need for further revelation? When a revelation fulfills the needs of the time, the requirements of mankind remain the same, then there is no wisdom in changing. However, when conditions change, so that the revealed teaching is inadequate or has been put with, then you is the essence of wisdom. The first revelations to the Prophet Adam, peace be upon him, sufficed for the needs of his time and those of his progeny for generations. As man's knowledge and physical evolution developed, there was a need for a more comprehensive and enhanced teaching for his moral and spiritual development. The Holy Quran affirms the basic truth of all previous revelations at their source, but its own revelations comprise all truth for the whole of mankind for all time. The Quran's message is a universal inheritance and possession for humankind. It explains all that is needed by mankind for the complete fulfillment of life. It makes provision for man's welfare, material, moral, and spiritual, and it teaches the philosophy underlying it. It expounds the significance of establishing and maintaining communion with God, and draws attention to his divine attributes and the manner in which man may derive benefit from the knowledge gained. The Holy Quran states, O mankind, there has indeed come to you an exhortation from your Lord, and a cure for whatever disease there is in the hearts, and a guidance and a mercy to the believers. Verse 58, chapter 10. If the Holy Quran contained all the truth, it was essential that it was preserved and protected. Thus we have divine assurance that the guidance revealed and embodied in the Holy Quran will be guarded under divine protection. Allah the Almighty states, Verily, we ourselves have sent down this exhortation, and most surely we will be its guardian. Verse 10 of chapter 15. It is indeed a miracle that after 1400 years the text of the Holy Quran has been preserved without any change, even to the last vowel point. In the language in which it was revealed, which was classical Arabic, it is still to this day a living language and is used and understood by millions of people over a large area of the earth. As the Holy Quran was revealed for the whole of mankind for all time, then divine assurance is an insurance that it cannot be altered or interfered with by man. As a convert to Islam from Christianity, I found real peace of mind and soul in the teachings of Islam. I had many questions to ask before I accepted, and many of those questions related to the Christian and biblical teachings. For instance, I could never understand how it could possibly be that Adam, peace be upon him, was the first man to walk the earth. The book of the Old Testament states, The Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. It's taken from Genesis, chapter 2, verses 7 to 8. I realize that Almighty God has the power to do all that he wills, but this particular description of an overnight conversion from dust into human form seemed like a fairy tale to me. As for the first woman to inhabit the earth, there is a more incredible description of how she was formed. Apparently, God caused Adam to go to sleep, and during the sleep he performed a surgical operation on Adam by removing one of his ribs in order to create the woman Eve. The wound was closed up and God created Eve from the rib and introduced her to Adam. Now logic dictates that God could easily have created Eve from dust, as he did Adam, without recourse to a surgical operation. As a result of the union of Adam and Eve, they produced two sons, Cain and Abel. Cain was later made to leave the area and move to the land of Nod, where in the next verse of Genesis, chapter 4, verse 17, he is said to have lain with his wife, and she became pregnant. How could this possibly be, when according to the Bible itself, Adam and Eve were the first human beings? Cain and Abel were the third and fourth, and yet Cain is recorded as leaving the land and marrying a girl who was old enough to bear a child. Where did this girl come from? And more to the point, where did her parents come from? The Holy Quran explains the creation of man in a number of places. It explains that Adam, peace be upon him, was the first prophet of God and not the first man. The Quran states, "And surely we created man from dry, wringing clay, from black mud, wrought into shape." Chapter 15, verse 27. This verse does not mean that clay became at once molded into a living man by God, having breathed life into it, as the Bible would have us believe. The Quran repeatedly emphasizes the fact that the creation of the universe was gradual. This particular verse speaks only of man's early creation. Other stages of creation are mentioned in other verses of the Quran, and from them we can understand how the different stages of development and evolution of man and woman took place. This explanation is so logical, understandable, and so appealing to common sense that we are left in no doubt that Adam was not the first man. Once placed in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve, according to Genesis chapter 2, verse 17, were told by God not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Not to eat of the tree of knowledge defeats the object of the creation of man. How could God possibly tell them not to do this? There can be no progress, spiritual or temporal, without knowledge. A man or woman can sin as much as they like and not know of their sinfulness. How could God possibly punish them for their lack of knowledge, which he himself has forbidden them to acquire? The Quran forbids Adam to eat from a particular tree, and in another verse declares the tree to be symbolic. The Quran states, "Dost thou not see how Allah sets forth a similitude of a good word? It is like a good tree whose root is firm and whose branches reach into heaven. It brings forth its fruit at all times by the command of its Lord. And Allah sets forth similitudes for men that they may reflect. And the case of an evil word is like that of an evil tree, which is uprooted from above the earth and has no stability." Chapter 14, verses 25 to 27. Let me state another example. Prophets of God are most truthful, honest, and pious men who, during their lifetime, mirror the attributes of God. They are blessed and sinless souls who have by their nature to set an example in their own lives of godly ways that set the standard by which the ordinary man aspire. However, from the Old Testament, we are given an insight into the life of the prophet Lot, peace be upon him, and his family. The most scurrilous and abhorrent account of human depravity is recorded against this blessed prophet of God. If this account, as presented by the Old Testament, is an example of the moral standards of a prophet of God, then God text as a said father is no more wine, lies about with him. Then the father did lie, so we can relate for the other did the birth of Lot's daughter. Now can accept fancy and morality. The writer or writers of such a story are completely depraved. How can this be accepted by any person, Christian or Jew, to be from a revealed scripture? The incestuous actions attributed to Lot and his daughters go against teachings of God. This story is a concoction of the most bitter of lies compiled by people devoid of. This is only one example of the defamation of a prophet of God. There are other such examples within the Old Testament. Holy ones, and commit, they say, we shall fight, and join it upon us. Say, Allah never enjoins foul deeds. Do you say of Allah that which you know not? Chapter 7, verse 29. It is therefore impossible that the Prophet Lot, a messenger of God, peace be upon him, could have committed such a heinous sin, knowing that it was an abomination in the sight of God. Every prophet of God was acknowledged by all, even their bitterest of enemies, as having led pure and truthful lives up to the time of their proclamation as prophets. The Holy Quran mentions this in respect of those who believed and disbelieved in them, and states in the case of the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, "I have indeed lived among you a whole lifetime before this. Will you not then understand?" Chapter 10, verse 17. It is quite obvious from an open-minded point of view that the account of Lot and many other instances in the Old Testament have been altered from the original text. I often used to wonder where I and people like myself, that is, non-Jewish, stood in the order of the chosen people of God. The Old Testament reminds us again and again that it was the Israelites who were the favored and chosen ones of God. Likewise, the New Testament speaks of the God of the Jews and not of the Gentiles. I was never a Jew, and in the eyes of the Jews, I and those like me, European or those from Asia Minor, are Gentiles. Jesus Christ, peace be upon him, who, God forbid, was looked upon as God, spoke to his disciples and was most explicit when he told them not to go to the Gentiles, but rather go to the lost tribes of Israel. From this standpoint, Christians and people of other faiths are not the chosen ones of God, and therefore belong to a second or third class, or other lowly state, and subordinate to the Jews. Christians regard Jesus as a Christian, forgetting that his religion was Judaism, and that he was a Jew. Acceptance of Islam cleared many misconceptions from my mind, especially about God himself. The Holy Quran states, "Allah is the friend of those who believe. He brings them out of all kinds of darkness into light." Chapter 2, verse 258. There is no mention of tribe, race, or nation in this verse. It is a universal statement that God is the God of those who believe. Again, the Holy Quran states, "O mankind, we have created you from a male and a female, and we have made you into tribes and sub-tribes that you may recognize one another. Verily, the most honorable among you in the sight of Allah is he who is the most righteous among you. Surely, Allah is all-knowing, all-aware." Chapter 49, verse 14. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, on his last pilgrimage to Mecca, gave a speech to a vast number of Muslims. The message he delivered was the epitome of this blessed verse. He said, "O ye men, your God is one and your ancestor is one. An Arab possesses no superiority over a non-Arab, nor does a non-Arab over an Arab. A white is in no way superior to a red, nor for that matter a red to a white, but only to the extent to which he discharges his duty to God and man. The most honored among you in the sight of God is the most righteous among you." These glorious words spoken by the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, epitomizes one of the loftiest ideals and strongest principles of Islam. The Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, delivered the message of true democracy and spiritual equality that no other prophet or religion advocated. As a Christian, I was always taught that Jesus, peace be upon him, was the Son of God and believed it. Yet I found it hard to accept that God, whom Jesus called Father, and who had the power to do all that he willed, could be such a cruel parent. Allowing your son to be put to death by crucifixion is inhuman by any standard. But for God to allow this to happen to his so-called son, the most righteous and unblemished soul, seems so unfair and unjust, especially when according to the first book of John, chapter 4, verse 10, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Why should a man have to suffer the punishment of another man's misdeeds and sinfulness? This is the stigma Christianity places on Jesus, that he died that we may be forgiven our sins. Again, what type of justice is this? What was the purpose of revealing to Moses, peace be upon him, the commandments, when by disobeying them, the punishment for our transgressions was to be awarded to a totally innocent man? By this logic, all sins are forgiven before they are committed, and we are free to do as we will without any fear of the consequences of our actions. As for Jesus suffering for the sins of mankind, this is totally repudiated by the Holy Quran, which states, "And no soul acts but only against itself, nor does any bearer of a burden bear the burden of another. Then to your Lord will you return, and he will inform you of that wherein you used to differ." Chapter 6, verse 165. It was not only Jesus who had to bear a cross. Everyone has to bear their own crosses and account for their own actions in this world and especially in the next. The Holy Quran also assures people, "Say, O my servants who have committed excesses against their souls, despair not of the mercy of Allah. Surely Allah forgives all sins. Verily He is most forgiving, merciful. And turn ye to your Lord and submit yourselves to Him before there comes unto you the punishment, for then you shall not be helped." Chapter 39, verses 54 to 55. I also used to think that if Jesus was God in human form, then what type of God do I pray to for help when he can't even defend himself from the people he created? If the Jews could overpower and kill him in this life, then what type of life could we expect in the hereafter? Promised Messiah, peace be upon him, through the teachings of the Holy Quran, cleared up this misconception, and it proved to be the turning point for me, a turning towards Islam and a no return to Christian doctrine. What a glorious and overwhelming sense of relief I felt when I realized that Jesus, peace be upon him, had not been put to death, but survived crucifixion and lived a long life, fulfilling his divine mission to the lost tribes of Israel. This was always his mission. He never proclaimed to be a universal teacher. He himself stated, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." Matthew 15, verse 24. The Holy Quran confirms that the mission of Jesus, peace be upon him, was for the Israelites only, and even mentions in the same verse the name of the universal teacher who was to follow him. It states, "And remember when Jesus, son of Mary, said, 'O children of Israel, surely I am Allah's messenger to you, fulfilling that which is before me of the Torah and giving glad tidings of a messenger who will come after me. His name will be Muhammad.' And when he came to them with clear proofs, they said, 'This is clear enchantment.'" Chapter 6, verse 7. Chapter 61, verse 7. This verse I have just quoted also addresses the position and status of Jesus. It refers to him as the son of Mary and a messenger of Allah, indicating that he was merely human, born of a human mother. His rank is that of prophet of God, and not, God forbid, God himself. The purpose of the Quran is to furnish guidance to mankind, so that they may be led along the path that would bring them to their Maker in a state of complete submission to him, which fulfills the purpose of their creation. The Quran states, "This is a book which we have revealed to thee, that thou mayest bring mankind out of every kind of darkness into light, by the command of their Lord, to the path of the mighty, the praiseworthy." Chapter 14, verse 2. The Holy Quran adopts the most persuasive way of leading people, step by step, towards the highest grades of virtue and beneficence. Many people, including some Muslims, think that the high grades of virtue are for people like the past prophets of God. The prophets were men like ourselves, and they proved that it is possible. Possible only through personal effort and good and sincere intentions. Any man, rich or poor, black or white or red or yellow, has an equal chance to attain righteousness and purity. It is Islam that awards them this equality, and it is only Islam that has been named by God as a true religion. Allah the Almighty states in the Holy Quran, "This is a perfect book. There is no doubt in it. It is a guidance for the righteous." Chapter 2, verse 2. This most blessed book was revealed 14 centuries ago, and to this day it remains in its pristine condition. The condition of mankind, and especially the Muslims of the present age, has changed, unfortunately, in most respects, not for the better. However, by the grace and mercy of Allah, the Almighty, He has brought about a revival and resuscitation of Islam. Through divine intervention, He has re-established the infinite wisdom, beauty and glory of the teachings of the Holy Quran. He has sent a servant of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the form of the promised Messiah and Mahdi, peace be upon him, to the earth. A subordinate prophet in every respect, whose credentials were to unite the whole of mankind into the religion of Islam through the teachings of this most noble book. The Quran has delivered all kinds of knowledge and prophecies. It promises to continue to do this forevermore, revealing its meanings to suit the peoples of all ages and time. It has not suffered from any human or any other source of interference. There is no more perfect book to be found throughout the history of time. It is a most comprehensive, final and complete book. Its verses are matchless and free from all error and contradiction. It is so sublime, pure and beautiful. It is a source of all wisdom and a mercy for mankind. Indeed, it is the final guidance for mankind. By reading it and applying its teachings to his everyday life, man will be able to achieve the highest pinnacle of spiritual life. Out of all the revealed books, the Holy Quran alone is the highest, most exalted, most complete and most perfect one. All praise is due to the Creator of such a mercy to mankind. Thank you.
That's it for today. Let's conclude our session with some updates. New refugees in Masterton are starting a new chapter, and Red Cross is right there to help them adjust. Here's how they're making a difference. Job support. Red Cross is helping newcomers find jobs that match their skills, giving them a solid start in the workforce. Education assistance for young refugees. Red Cross is making it easier to get enrolled in schools, colleges, and universities. Handling paperwork and offering friendly guidance along the way. With this support, refugee families are finding it easier to settle into their new lives in the community. Thanks to all our viewers and listeners who were able to join us today. If you have any questions or comments, please feel free to reach out to us. Our phone number is 0800-947-526. 0800-947-526. Or our email address is info@ahmadiyya.org.nz. It's info@ahmadiyya.org.nz. Assalamu alaikum. This is Nabil Ahmad Khan signing off.